He gives life to the dead and he calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the God who transforms life, transforms death into life, and he creates something out of nothing. This is the God, there's as my friend Gary says, a fancy schmancy theological term for this. It's called ex nihilo. Ex nihilo. It means God can take something out of nothingness and he can transform it into something absolutely marvelous. He takes something and he creates it out of nothing. Have you ever transformed anything in your life? Ever bought a house and remodeled it? Old dilapidated house? Or dilapidated old building and it was falling apart and you went in there and you gutted it and you remodeled it and some of you are shaking your heads, you know what I'm talking about. Ever bought a business going down the tubes, transformed it and put it back on its feet again and gave it new life and it's looking pretty good nowadays? Some years ago when we were still in Painesville, Minnesota, in our first church, a couple who lived right next to the church in the country there, they died. They both died within a few days of each other. And they had this old lime green Chevy Malibu. I don't know, I don't even remember the year anymore. So long ago. And I thought, you know, that wouldn't be a bad car to restore. So when the kid I was dealing with the family and we're all done and we're kind of saying our goodbyes and I said, do you want to sell your parents' old car? Their dad had parked that car years ago. It had broken down there and had sat there all those years. And I said, do you want to sell it? I'll buy it from you. Oh, you can have it. What a mistake that was. So I thought, oh, great. I'm going to restore this old car, this Chevy Malibu, and make it pristine again. And I get a rope and I get my son and we pull it home and I get it in the shop and I start working on it and the motor doesn't work and I get that going and I fix the brakes and I fix all the mechanical stuff. And the whole time, I mean, I'm hours and hours crawling in, around, under, and over this thing. And lo and behold, I get the motor running, I get it all mechanically sound, and one day I'm underneath it crawling around and I spot this hole in the frame that I never saw was there, and it was big enough you could put your fist through it. And I went, this isn't pretty. This is not good. Needless to say, the restoration project stopped immediately because it was just too challenging for me to overcome it at that point. You see, I could not transform that car into something beautiful. Listen, God's in the business of transformation. He takes situations and he takes people that are not just challenging, but that are actually look dead, impossible to turn around. He looks at things and he looks at hearts that are not, and he brings them and he calls them as if they were his own in his own power and by the power of his might. And you say, how? How does he do that? And the answer is because in his hands, that's what they are going to be, ex nihilo. He takes something out of nothing and he creates something holy, beautiful, and wonderful. And he transforms that lostness into life. That deadness into life. He breathes life into it. He gives life to the dead. Is your marriage dead? He gives life to the dead. Is your heart feeling numb and dead because of a situation in your life right now? He gives life to the dead. Are you in a hopeless situation? It seems like there's no end to that turmoil. Patty, in your pain, he gives life to the dead. I know pain. I know it seems hopeless when you're in it. In that cancer, he gives life to the dead, and he calls into existence the things that do not exist. You might think, well, Paul, where did Paul come up with these conclusions? Because of the resurrection of Jesus? And I would say, well, maybe, but not necessarily. It might have had a little influence on it, the resurrection of Jesus, but Paul knew God. We must understand who God is first of all. That he's the God from the beginning of time all the way back to Genesis, who's called something out of nothingness, and he breathed life into the dust, and human life is formed, Genesis 2:7. You see, the whole point is there's new life for spiritually dead people, and there's new life, do I dare say it, for old people? Abraham and Sarah, listen, they were old people. They were nearly 100 years old when God spoke transformational resurrection life into them. Sarah laughed at the preposterous notion that she would bear a child in pregnancy in her old age. But later on, she laughed with joy at the new life she received, as in pregnancy she bore Isaac, the heir to the throne of Jesus Christ, the heir of God. Sarah's new life wasn't that unusual, because God's in the business of resurrection life. Hannah, who was infertile when she too gave birth to Samuel, even sang a song about it. Hannah said, "The Lord brings death and he makes alive, and he brings down to the grave and he raises up." It's the Lord who does that. He brings resurrection life. God's in the business of giving new life to people, and dare I say it again, to old people too. Nobody's too old to experience resurrection life. Nobody is too old to experience new life through resurrection life in Jesus Christ. He gives life to the dead, and he calls things out that are not as though they were, and he knows what he's doing, and he's never hampered in any way through physical limitations. I think it's so cool. You see, God doesn't just raise spiritually dead people. He can raise spiritually dead nations. Thank you for praying for that this morning, Brian. For our nations. He's in the business of restoring whole countries and whole people groups. He demonstrated that he can raise a whole nation from the dead in the book of Ezekiel. You might want to turn there in your Bible. It's page 724 in the Old Testament. The book of Ezekiel, the prophet. The nation, the whole nation of Israel is dead. They've been disobeying God for generations. And it's into this disobedience that the prophet Ezekiel is given an extraordinary vision by God. And Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14, Ezekiel sees before him, picture this with me, a whole valley of dry bones. Picture yourself standing up on the mountain, looking down into this valley, and it's this picture of nothing but a mass, a whole nation of people lying there, spiritually dead. He sees nothing but dry bones, and the scene is utter desolation. And we can imagine a dry bone, valley of dry bones. It must have been a scorching wind going through there. It's a valley floor of bleached, probably whiteness, of deadness. Ezekiel stepping around as he's walking in this valley of dry bones, as God says, go down there and preach to them. And he's walking amidst these dry bones, and he's trying to be careful that he doesn't step on these bones and crunch them under his foot. And God gives Ezekiel a job to do. Look at verse 3 with me, and I'm going to read 3 to 10. God said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Well, there's a question for you. And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an ever exceedingly great army. As Ezekiel preaches, suddenly he's hearing all these strange noises, not some stifled yawn, not some uncomfortable shifting in your seat, but what he hears is these bones rattling. It's like a scene from a movie, isn't it? The bones become animated and they hook together and they're covered. They're suddenly being covered with sinews and muscles and skin and flesh over these bones. Life is breathed into them. And before Ezekiel knows it, they're standing in front of him like this huge army. There's a lesson here for us of spiritual transformation. Look at verses 11 and 12. Please hear this. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are indeed cut off. Listen, I'll stop there. Isn't that what we say? There's no hope. Things are so terrible. There's nothing on the horizon. Nothing's going to change in this life. He's just a cantankerous old bear to live with, and he ain't ever going to change. And she can't stop talking all day long. Yak, 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 yak. It ain't ever going to get any better. And this body of mine keeps wasting away with cancer inside of it. And there's just no hope. Nothing. It's lost. We're cut off. Everything's going to hell around me and I'm in it. And God speaks. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. A spiritually dead nation that looked absolutely hopeless. All the nations around them thought, their God isn't anything. He's forsaken them and left them for dead. A spiritually dead nation reborn. People just like you, people just like me, we had new life, resurrected life, breathed into them because God said, you're going to live and you're alive and I'm bringing you up out of your spiritual deadness and you're going to live. Isn't that what you want? I mean, do you? Or do you like your spiritual deadness? Do you like that place of darkness in your heart where you're not experiencing relationship with God and you're so content to be miserable in your life? Do you like that place of unforgiveness where you're harboring that bitterness and anger against that person and you're holding on to it like it's something so very precious, as good as gold inside of you, because you just want to win? And the whole while, your soul is going to hell because of your spiritual deadness. And you're no different than the valley of dry bones laying there along with that people of Israel, because you're so content to be untransformed by the breath of the living God in your life. You like that place? I don't like it. And I'm not content to be there. And I don't want to be there. I want to be raised up. And I don't want just my bones rattling. I want breath of God in me, carrying me along, walking in the Spirit of God, hearing the voice of God, transformed by the voice of God, because He transforms dead people into life. He takes that which is dead and He makes it new by the power of His voice. You see, to the spiritually dead, there's a promise of life in Christ. There's a promise of life. The prospect of empty graves, because there's a raising up of people as they're spiritually restored and transformed. Colossians, remember where we started in verse 1? If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Remember what Paul said in Romans? He gives life to the dead and He calls into existence the things that do not exist. Jesus Christ offers us so wonderfully, openly, new life. We're spiritually dead, the Scripture says, in our trespasses and sins. But along with Jesus, we too can be raised up into new resurrection life. What does that mean? What does that mean? Being raised with Christ means, you know what? Things are going to start looking a little different to you. Things are going to change in your perspective of how you see the world through the lens of a resurrected Jesus. Our hearts and minds will become set on new things. Set your heart on the things above, where Christ is seated. Not on the earthly things, Paul tells us in Colossians. Why? Because you've died. And your new life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you're going to appear with Him in glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory's coming. Can't wait. And it's all because we've been raised up with Christ. We have a new perspective because it's been mandated from God Himself. And we can experience resurrection life in relationship with Jesus. You can, if you want to. And if you invite Him to transform you in your life. Do you have a morning routine when you get out of bed? Most of us do. You know, I don't know what yours is. Mine is coffee. Devotions. No, not really. Coffee. Go outside, look up in the sky, and remind myself God's on His throne. Then devotions. Then go check my emails. Then go shower. And then get on with the day. I mean, we all have something like that, don't we? Some kind of routine. It's our morning ritual. It's the way we transform from the darkness of night into the light of the dawn of a new day. We make that transformational transition in life. And each of us kind of figures out how that happens. But listen, there's a new spiritual day that's dawned. Resurrection living means that a new start has begun for us. The spiritual day is here. Are you in it? Do you want it? Are you experiencing it? There's a new day, a new dawn of resurrected life for us in Jesus Christ. Paul hits that thing right between the eyes. Let's read this together. Let's read it out loud together. Ephesians 5, 8 and following. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is the light that makes everything visible. Get this last line. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Can I say this to you as we close this morning? God wants to do a spiritual transformation in every one of our hearts. He wants to have a relationship with us on levels we may not even recognize at this particular moment in time, but they exist. And He calls you from your deadness into life. He takes something that looks like nothing and He makes it beautiful. And He gives it resurrected life. He wants spiritual relationship with us in those perpetual closets that we lock away inside of ourselves that are so full of selfishness and self-centeredness. And He wants to bring resurrected life into those closets and clean them out. Because He doesn't want you storing that selfishness and self-centeredness any longer. We've been storing it way too long. And Jesus came to set us free and to speak resurrection life into those closets of selfishness and self-centeredness. God's in a love affair with you. He loves you. He's in a love affair with you. And the proof of that is Jesus Christ raised from the dead for you and for me. You might ask, Rich, how do I get there with God? I mean, really, I hear what you're saying. I want to get there. I've listened to you last week and I listened to you on Easter. How do I get to this resurrection life where I can put my feet on the floor and say, Jesus, you rose from the dead. There's victory for me today. How do I get there? How do I experience relational transformation? Well, maybe, just maybe this prayer will help. And I've given it to you on your outline this morning, but I've also got it on PowerPoint. It's called the Prayer of the Broken Heart. It's an old Puritan prayer from the book The Valley of Vision. And maybe, just maybe this morning, as James says, when we pray in faith, maybe when we pray in faith this morning, the Prayer of the Broken Heart, maybe God will break open the dam in our souls today that we can experience spiritual transformation through resurrected life. Want to pray that prayer? I just invite you to pray it. We're going to read it. Now I'm going to follow me, okay? We're going to read it very, very slowly. This is not a speed prayer. This is a time to pray. You're praying. You're not talking to yourself. You're not talking to anybody in this room. You're talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Glory, God Himself. And we invite you to pray this prayer together. We're going to read it slowly. Just follow my lead, okay? Let's pray to God. Oh Lord, no day of my life has passed that has not proved me guilty in thy sight. Prayers have been uttered from a prayerless heart. Praise has been often praiseless sound. My best services are filthy rags. Blessed Jesus, let me find a covert in thy appeasing wounds. Though my sins rise to heaven, thy merits soar above them. Though unrighteousness weighs me down to hell, thy righteousness exalts me to thy throne. All things in me call for my rejection. All things in thee plead my acceptance. I appeal from the throne of perfect justice to thy throne of boundless grace. Grant me to hear thy voice assuring me that by thy stripes I am healed, that thou wast bruised for my iniquities, that thou hast been made sin for me that I might be righteous in thee, that my grievous sins, my manifold sins, are all forgiven, buried in the ocean of thy concealing blood. I am guilty, but pardoned, lost, but saved, wandering, but found, sinning, but cleansed. Give me perpetual brokenheartedness. Keep me always clinging to thy cross. Flood me every moment with descending grace. Open to me the springs of divine knowledge, sparkling like crystal, flowing clear and unsullied through my wilderness of life. Worship team. Jesus, Father, hear our prayer this morning. God, thank you for the transformation that you long and will do in each one of us. As we stop wailing from our beds and cry out to you from our hearts. As we rend our hearts, not our garments. God, transform me. Transform my brothers and sisters here this morning. Help us to live in the victory of experiencing resurrected life in the precious name of our risen Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Do you want to stand and let's just sing together? We'll sing the chorus of More Than Amazing and just think about the words. You're amazing, more than amazing, forever our God. You're more than enough. You are amazing.
You are amazing, more than amazing, forever our God. You're more than
amen.